Good morning. Again, congrats to everyone that finished their fast yesterday. I hope you're taking it easy as you're going along. And for the rest of us that are continuing on, just two more weeks. Huh? It's going to be easy, man. Two more weeks. That's all we got to do. Unless you're going 40 days and then two more weeks and then some. Those lights. So, if you didn't notice, the carpet got cleaned. Actually, it's very clean. And so this is our responsibility now, right? No high school kids to blame our carpet on. And so let's try to keep it clean while we can. All right, Matthew chapter 21. We're getting to all the good stuff now. I'm sorry. 20. Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you too go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? And they said to him, because no one hired us. And then he said to them, you too go into the vineyard. And when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. And when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, and they received each one a denarius. And when they had received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? Thus the last shall be first and the first last. And as Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves. And on the way, he said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day, he will be raised up. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with their sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit one on your right and one on your left. But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? And they said to him, we are able. And they said to him, my cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. And hearing this, the 10 became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. Is it not so among you? But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. For as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And as they were going out from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. And the multitude sternly told them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. And Jesus stopped and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Lord, we want our eyes to be open. And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Amen. So this is the parable of the vineyard. Now, remember, he's still talking about the kingdom. And you'll notice that in this part, as he's talking about the kingdom, his disciples still don't get it, right? And we'll get to that a little bit. But he goes out, you know, and he hires these guys to work on his land, right? If you don't know the timing here, it's 9 o'clock in the morning is the first wave of workers. The next wave of workers was at noon. The next wave was at 3 o'clock, right? And the last wave was at 5 o'clock, right? And so, you know, and obviously 6 o'clock is the end of the day, right? Because the sun goes down during that time, right? There's no electricity. And so they finish off, and the guys that were there from 9 o'clock, kind of a... you know, you'd think, yeah, I mean, I'd probably be grumbling as well if that was the situation. But they just received what they had agreed on, right? And the point that Jesus is trying to make, that he is introducing, actually, the concept of grace to the Israelites. You know, and he's talking about that God is a gracious God. You know, the word at the end is, you know, are you, the word envious actually is not a very good translation. Better translation is actually evil. And he says, are you evil, right, because you're thinking this way because I'm generous? You know, and if you, you know, we've heard these stories, right? And I don't know how you guys are, but this is a clear test if you are, to sense if you are a person walking by grace or not. You know, have you heard people that, like, die in their deathbed and stuff? You know, do you generally get excited about that? Or do you think, oh, man, that guy doesn't deserve to go to heaven? You know, this guy, you know, if you, with that kind of attitude, you are not a person of grace. You know, a person of grace gets excited. It doesn't matter when it happens. You know, it doesn't matter how it happens. But as long as someone walks in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, right, we should be joyful. I mean, if the shepherd goes out, you know, and leaves 99 behind and finds one and goes crazy about it, you know, and it says the heavens rejoice, the angels rejoice when that happens, you know, when a sinner, you know, repents, you know, and in the same way, you know, if he's going to leave everything, you know, put couches up and go crazy and search around the house for one coin, how much more do you think that we as his disciples should be joyful when someone makes a decision for Christ? You know, and of course, yeah, I mean, we could be sad in one sense that, wow, this person could have really lived for God during this time, you know, but we should never be upset or think, oh, that's not fair. You know, I lived this whole Christian life and I was faithful to God and Sunday school teacher and all this. And this guy doesn't do anything for the church, doesn't do anything. And he gets to be in the same place that I am. Well, when you think like that, you're actually not really a person of grace. You know, and this is the part of the introduction of this age of grace that God is going to have us on. And this is the attitude that we should have, right, of being very, very gracious, right? Grace, unmerited favor. Because if you look at the whole scheme of things, you know, what are you saved by? Are you saved by your work? Are you saved by your attitude? Are you saved by, you know, what talents you have? No, you're also saved by grace, right? The Bible says it is the gift of God that no man should boast. Right, and so we have also received grace, and we should also impart grace to other people. It's just a really simple thing, you know. And then Jesus comes and he tells them about the resurrection, right? And this is, I mean, from verse 17 to 19, can you get any clearer idea of what Jesus is talking about? Right, he's talking about the death. They're going to deliver me up, you know, and I'm going to rise up again on the third day. And still, these guys ask, especially, and this is, you know, maybe I'm reading a little bit too much into it. This is the cowardice of James and John, right? The Sons of Thunder, right? That's their title, right? But two cowards. They go and ask their mom to come and tell Jesus, you know, and say, you know, Lord, you know, can we, you know, my sons. And it's not like, if you read carefully, it's not that the mom went alone. The boys tagged along right next to her, right? Because Jesus responds and says, are you able to drink the cup? And they both say yes. So they were there, right, in the same scene. And so it wasn't like, mom, go, you know. And they basically made her their spokesperson, you know. And so they're coming up and say, hey, you know, when's all said and done? Because they don't understand the Messiah, in essence. You know who understood the Messiah? The blind man, right? We'll get to that in a little bit, right? I mean, do you see how very poetically, beautifully, Matthew kind of lays out the chapters and stuff. You know, it just kind of goes, the line of thought just goes one after another. And then he talks about this, the resurrection, the death resurrection. And then the mom comes and says, you know, this is what I want you to do. I want my one's favorite son, John, and then my other son, James, sit on the left and right of you, you know, when you come in your kingdom. And remember, to them, the kingdom, right, when Jesus, the whole time, right, he spent, you know, how many chapters now talking about the kingdom of God? And to these guys, still, the kingdom of God is about power. The kingdom of God is still about, you know, about Roman destruction, you know, about the Israelites grabbing a hold, like the Davidic kingdom, coming and rising up and crushing the Romans and crushing their oppressors and crushing the Syrians and crushing all these people around them. That's not the kingdom that Jesus has been patiently, for years now, trying to tell them what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is upside down. Right? How do you become great in the kingdom of God? You be the least. How do you become rich in the kingdom of God? You become poor. Right? How do you become the first? You become the last. You know, I mean, the thing goes on and on and on again. How do you become great? You become the servant. How do you become humble, right? Or how do you get exalted? You humble yourself. It's totally upside down kingdom. But that's what Jesus is trying to tell these guys again and again and again and again. You know, and he finishes that thought and he asks this question, are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? You know, I mean, this is a really kind of important aspect. You know, the power that Jesus walks in, you know, the miracles that happen and the authority when he speaks in those things, they don't just come out of a vacuum. You know what I mean? There's a cup that he drinks, right? You know, other translators, they talk about a cup of suffering, you know, a cup of turmoil, a cup of death. And, you know, I mean, there's so many different, you can kind of, you know, put your own definition in that. But there is a cup. In other words, there is a price that is paid. You know, and thing is, you know, you could be walking and blessing your life. I guarantee someone's paying that price in prayer, right? Someone is, you know, we use the term praying the price, right? Someone is out there, and anything worth anything, there's always a price. Obviously, our salvation is free, you know, and we understand it's a gift of God. You know, but as we grow in our discipleship, you know, like we just had a graduating class, you know, I mean, it costs them their Friday nights. You know, our EG, we're going on a retreat this weekend. It costs them their Friday nights, you know, and a weekend away. You know, but I think you can ask any one of them. They'll say it's totally worth it, right, to draw near to the Lord. Right? Everything has a cost. And so when we think about these things, just ask them, am I willing to drink the cup? Right? Am I willing to grab a hold of this in my life? I remember I said these guys didn't understand the kingdom. These two blind guys did. It's interesting. All the ones with sight didn't really understand what was going on, but these blind guys come, you know, and Jesus is walking. He's leaving Jericho. There's a multitude, and two blind guys hear, you know, oh, Jesus is coming, and they start crying out to God, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David, right? You know, Yeshua, right? You are the Messiah. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. They tell these guys, shut up, man. Quit talking. Take it easy. And they cried out even more, Lord, have mercy on me. And this is the key. Verse 32. This is what the Lord says to them. He stops. He called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? Right? You know, during this time of fasting, at some point, right? I don't know when it's going to happen. I guarantee it's going to happen. At some point, the Lord's going to stop you and just ask, what do you want me to do for you? You know, when that time comes, you better have an answer. Right? Oh, I don't know. I've just been doing this, you know, I just wake up and yeah, okay. You know what I mean? He's going to come and he's going to, you know, first of all, in the beginning, he mostly, if we're trudging along, he's been asking you, why are you doing this? You know, and hopefully he does. And then eventually he's going to come around and say, what do you want me to do for you? All right. So you've been coming, you've been fasting. Well, what do you want me to do for you? You know, prepare an answer, right? And don't stop until that time comes. You know what I mean? You know, can you imagine if these guys, you know, they were crying out to God, oh, Jesus, son of mercy, or, you know, Lord, have mercy on me, son of David, and on. And then these guys said, hey, pipe down. Oh, okay. They still be blind. You know what I mean? There's a sense of tenacity. And I guarantee the Lord's going to come and say, all right, what do you want me to do for you? Right? He's going to stop. Traffic in heaven is going to stop for you. And the gaze of heaven looks and says, all right, Matt, what do you want me to do for you? You know, what is that thing that your soul desires? You know, what is that thing that your spirit craves and needs? What do you want me to do for you? You know, have an answer prepared. You know, and most of us, we probably, you know what you want him to do for us. You know, we've been crying out all this time. But when that time comes, prepare. Have an answer prepared. And keep chugging along until that moment comes. And then the Lord speaks and he looks to us and we answer and he says, well, man, I love you so much. Let it be done according to your faith. You know, here you go, son. Here you go, daughter. Right? God's always gracious. Even when we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. All right, so let's close our eyes today. Let's be tenacious. Huh? What do you want me to do for you? If the Lord were to come today into our sanctuary, look upon you with his eyes of love and compassion, And he's not the God that doesn't want to do it. He's the God that wants to do it, right? That has died to do it and is waiting to do it. And so if he comes and says, what do you want me to do for you? How are you going to answer him? And then in that answer, you keep going to God until it happens. Push. Pray until something happens. So let's go before the Lord and let's just speak to him right now. I love a scripture in Psalm. It says, commit your ways, right? Commit your work to the Lord, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. That's what God's after. That's what he's probing for. That's what he wants for you to cry out to him about. And he's going to come. He is faithful to come. Well, let's pray today. And attached to what we're praying, let's also pray for ourselves and our prayer life would grow in 2007. The intensity of our prayers, the discernment in our prayers, right? The ability to cry out to him, the ability to pray God's will, right? Pray that the Lord would take you beyond yourself in 2007 in your prayer life, in your devotional life, that you'd pray out of intimacy, that you'd pray hearing God's voice. And let's really pray for an increase in our prayer life this year. Ask God to really touch this aspect of our discipleship, this aspect of our lives that's so precious to him. Right? God does nothing but an answer to prayer, John Wesley says. Right? So let's just go before the Lord and ask for an increase in our prayer life in 2007. Pray that it would grow. Let's also pray for our anniversary revival coming up. It's the, let me see this calendar. When is it? It's February 9, 10, and 11. And speaker's name is Powell Lemons. He's from California. Let's pray for just power during that time, or a real time of blessing. And his message is entitled Living in the Rhythm of Grace. And so I think a very appropriate set of messages. I just talked to him the other day. He's pumped up, man. He feels like God has really given him a word from the Lord for us as a church, and he's ready just to share. And kind of very vast type of experiences, you know, very untypical of a pastor. And so let's just really pray for him and his family. And they're actually got the return flight just got canceled somehow, so they need to pick up another flight. So can you really pray that, you know, the Lord would just really have favor with him, with the airlines, and find a ticket back home and these things while he's here. So let's just pray for our revival, that people would come and receive, and the grace of God would really flow through our church during that time. Let's just pray for this revival. Let's pray for the launch of our morning service. Let's pray for our families and all the preparations that need to take place. And let's pray for people to serve in the youth ministry and the children's ministry. I know they're starting a teacher training times and whatnot. And so pray for Pastor Nate and Pastor Sam, and that God would just really bless them in these new ministries. And let's pray that this would just really come off so well, and that we just continue to grow, and families would be ministered to in Hong Kong. Right? So let's just pray for that launch. Let's go to our member prayer focus. Let's pray for our brother Aaron. All right, let's pray that the Lord really know his calling in his life, and for him to live for his purpose. Let's pray that he would find an occupation. He's got a couple of job offers, and let's really pray that he'd just be real discerning and wise, and the guy would just really open the door, especially into the one that he really wants to work in. Let's pray that he would draw closer to the Lord in his life, and pray for the salvation of his family members, that they may know freedom in him. So let's just cover Aaron. Let's pray for our brother Warren. Let's pray for the salvation for his father. And I pray for unity in his family and just the betterment of the family business. And pray that he would go closer to the Lord and in doing so help his rebelliousness, his arrogance, impatience. And also help the Lord would help him focus with his career and just overcome vices like cigarettes and alcohol. So let's just cover Warren, ask God's hand upon his life. Let's pray for our sister, Poyoung. Let's pray that she would put God first for faith and passion for God to grow stronger every day. That she won't be swayed by the desires of the world. Pray for God's protection over her against any evil schemes while working for a record company and in the entertainment industry. Let's pray for God to grant her wisdom, creativity, talent, language skills in her new career as a recording artist and writer. For continuing passion, trust, and overflowing unconditional love for Jimmy. For good health for her and her family, as well as a loving, understanding relationship between all the family members. Let's cover Poyoung. Oh, we thank you so much, God, for this day and this morning, Lord. And just continue to strengthen us as many of us are continuing on in our fast, Lord. And God, and when you do come to us, Lord, and ask us that question, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I pray that we would be prepared, God, to give you an answer that pleases your heart, Lord. And to give us a tenacity, God, until you come to us, Lord. Father, just watch over us, God, especially be with us tonight as we have a leaders' meeting, Lord, and just minister to us, Father God, as we try to do what pleases you as a church, Lord. God, we thank you. We bind our will to your will today, and we ask for your hand upon us, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.